Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode for the duration of today's conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. May I introduce your first speaker for today, Mike Simonds? Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for attending the latest industry update on the Consolidated Audit Trail. We have a series of presenters today who will give an update as to the current status of the project. There'll be a question and answer period at the end. On the webinar, on the bottom side, you'll see a place to ask your questions. So feel free during the presentation to ask questions, and we'll get to them at the end. On the second page, you can see the agenda. We have a lot of topics to get through. I say the probably the most critical for the industry are update on the timelines, both for industry member reporting in regard to FDID and updates on PII and where we stand with that. But we have a lot of things to get through. So with that, I'll hand it over to the leadership team, starting with Tom Bush and Sonia from SIBO and Sonia from New York on recent SRO activity.
Thanks, Mike. So I'd like to begin with this slide, the UAT for participants. For the participant spec 1.6 has begun. It began on July 18th, and we have multiple trade dates that we're attempting to ingest during this UAT cycle, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. The UAT cycle is scheduled to be complete on August 23rd, and we're on track to make that. So I guess I'd just like to make clear that the data being ingested is three full trade dates of option data, equity data, data from FINRA. So it's all the reference data and order data from the production environment at the prod data at the exchanges to the UAT secure environment that has been approved by the operating committee. The next UAT cycle is scheduled to begin cycle two, commence on August 24th. And then the third cycle, the 21st of September, will begin before the go-live that we're anticipating will happen on November 15th for the participants submitting. Participants have also been working on thesis CAT and industry groups on an advisory committee to establish the interim milestones related to the first phase of the IM Tech reporting, which begins November 19th. And at this point, I'll pass it over to Shelley to go into the background and approach for the IM tech spec.
Great. Thank you, Tom. So if we go ahead and move on to the next slide, before I get into the specifics, and there's quite a bit to cover, just wanted to provide a little bit of background and where we are. As we had, when we last spoke at the end of June, the participants were proposing a phased approach with the IM reporting beginning in November 2019, consistent with what our original exemptive request was and the master plan. Over the last month or so, we've been working to refine the approach further with a focus on the spec format and the detailed scope for each phase. I would like to say, the participants would like to say that while neither the commission or the staff, the SEC staff, has approved the phased approach, we understand from discussions at the agency that substantial broker-dealer reporting must begin in November 2019 in accordance with our original incentive relief request, as I just mentioned, and the master plan that we subsequently developed for the full implementation of CAT. So just that being said, November 2019 is the date that we are working towards. We plan to formally recommend the proposed timeline, the phasing, the detailed scope that we're going to talk about over the next few months. We're still determining the exact form that would take, whether it's a plan amendment, exemptive relief, et cetera, as appropriate. But cannot emphasize enough as we move through, although we're moving forward with these dates, nothing has been approved by the SEC. So let's move on to the next slide. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about is the spec approach. So when we last spoke in June, we were talking about a two-spec approach. So we had initially considered allowing the industry members to submit data using either an OATS-based format or the native CAT format. Since we last spoke, we have, after a lot of careful analysis, a lot of discussion, we have determined that an OATS-based format is not viable and that the optimal approach to get us to the November 2019 date is a single native CAT format, and I will just refer to it going forward as the CAT format. We wanted to share a little bit with you about the decision-making process behind this and how we landed where we did. So if you remember when we talked before, the OATS format was going to only be available for equities but would not be available for options. And as we moved through our analysis, it became clear that if an OATS format was not offered for options, it greatly diminished the utility of the format, of offering that format, particularly for reporters that have to report both equities and options. Further, the totality of the changes that were required to ensure that the OATS format was fully CAT compliant required substantially more changes than OATS as is plus two or three fields, which I think many had a view would be perhaps how the path would lead us, and that is not how it turned out. So the totality of those changes were just much greater than a simple addition of a couple fields. Another significant factor in our decision was the eventual sunsetting of the OATS-based format, which we had stated would occur at not a specified date in the future, but would eventually occur. And that, of course, regardless of the length of time, would result in additional development effort for anyone that had chose to initially use the OATS-based format. And then I think this is probably pretty clear to everyone, but when you look at everything in the aggregate and having to convert an OATS-based format to the CAT format, which was part of the plan, introduced even more complexity into an already highly complex reporting framework, and we believe added significantly increased risk in the overall implementation. So putting all of that together, the SROs believe the best approach forward, like I said, is to go to a single CAT format. So the focus will now be to bring that CAT format that was originally the spec published in last September closer to an OATS-like model with a primary objective to ensure the timely retirement of OATS. So the things that we're focusing on now are streamlining the event types where possible. We've received a lot of industry feedback from all the different trade groups working through the IM Tech Spec Working Group, and some of the primary areas of concern included order restatement events, some of the required uses for modified cancel route events. So those are all being looked at where we could either eliminate or significantly streamline. Another area of concern that we heard loud and clear was result timestamps on routes, looking to eliminate that, and then to further refine the error correction process that we also received significant feedback on. So those are areas that we're focusing on now. So you can move to the next slide. So the implementation timelines that the SROs are proposing as we move forward towards the November 2019 implementation date. So back in June, we talked about publishing the spec for both an OATS format and a CAT format by August 1st. So that did not happen. However, what we did as we moved, changed paths into a CAT format is to ensure that we were able to communicate at least a final scope in much more detail. And we're going to, in another slide or so, get into the detailed scope in more granularity that will hopefully, even in the absence of a spec, allow people to start planning or be able to anticipate when certain requirements will come. We will still keep the originally proposed testing date to open the test window in August 15, 2019, industry test environment, somewhat similar to the test environment today. In the a big component of our plan as we move forward here, understanding feedback that we received on the amount of testing time that the industry believes is necessary for an implementation of this scope and complexity. While we will be moving forward with a go-live of November 15, 2019, we will be proposing a regulatory conformance period of approximately 3 months. I'm going to talk in much more detail on a subsequent slide about exactly what that means, but that would end in February of 2020. And then we would have the next three phases, 2B2C, 2D, which are basically options part one. 2A, I should have said before on the November date, is equities part one. Big focus on oats retirement there to get the oats scope. Then equities part two would come in September of 2020 and options part two in May of 2021. Then the customer and account system would come in November of 2021, and then small oats, non-oats reporters would be in November 15, 2022. And I'm going to go into a little more specificity on that in the next slide. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide. I won't spend a lot of time here, but the general idea is to accelerate the reporting date for small broker-dealers that are currently oats reporters to be concurrent with when large reporters begin so that we can retire oats. That is the primary and objective of that acceleration. And then anyone who is not currently an oats reporter, they would get the additional year as is included in the plan. And then as we move through each of the additional phases, the only phase relevant to the small brokerages who are oats reporters is that 2A to facilitate oats retirement. The rest of the phases would be broken out just as in the plan. Large broker dealers would come in on their specified date and small broker dealers would come in 1 year later. So you can see that all the way down the slide. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the next slide. So, phase 2A, spend some time on the detailed timelines for this. This is the first out-of-the-gate implementation date, so we're going to get more detail here. The detailed scope finalized, we did that last week. We'll talk about that in just a minute. As we go through that scope slide, you'll see that the firm-designated ID will be required in that first phase, so that is a brand-new concept. There's a lot of new ground there to break, so we are going to be providing additional guidance to help firms in their planning next week, August 15th. Another significant step we think will be to publish a mapping of OATS interpretive guidance to CAT to help all of the current OATS reporting firms understand how OATS and CAT are different, similar, the same. We're going to start with the FAQs, which is a significant body of guidance that is out there. We'll follow it, hopefully very shortly, with OATS reports and tech spec scenarios. But next week, August 15th, we will be publishing the mapping of the OATS FAQs to CAT, again, to help people plan in the absence of a spec. Then I mentioned before, and the industry feedback and some of the things we're focusing on right now to make the CAT format closer to an OATS-like model is much focus on the event types, the route modifications, order restatements, et cetera. So that has been a focus of significant conversation and making sure that nothing that we do to streamline or bring this closer to an OATS model diminishes the value or the utility that was intended in CAT. So we are targeting August 15th to make a final decision subject to an OPCO vote to be able to move forward then. Then from there, that's an important step. We will be not the absolute final spec, but be able to have the first iteration of the spec ready for publication to the broader industry for both phase 2A and 2B by September the 5th. And then what we also plan to do to help sort of as a companion to that firm's plan is to publish a technical field mapping between the OATS spec and the CAT spec so everyone can understand how the two relate. Again, a big focus here is to help facilitate OATS retirement, and we believe that this will be of significant value towards doing that. Then we'll be looking for industry feedback and by October 1st on that September 5th spec. We are only going to have one iteration of this where we have industry feedback, given a significant amount of feedback we've already received through the various trade groups, the IonTech Spec Working Group. So we are attempting to address as much of that as possible in this September 5th and version, and hopefully we'll be pretty far along where we need to be. Then we will be looking to publish the final specification for both 2A and B, incorporating industry feedback, by October 30th of this year. Then, as I mentioned before, industry tests would open on August 15th, and the go-live and start of the conformance period is November 15th, with the conformance period ending in February. So let's go ahead and move to the next slide. So let's talk in a little bit more detail about the proposed regulatory conformance period. So the SROs are proposing this concept to provide industry members additional time to refine and address system coding issues that may become apparent only after they start production reporting. And we understand there's only a 3-month test window between August and November. So we absolutely understand the importance of providing as much time as necessary for all of the different issues to be addressed. So that is where what this is designed to do. So during this conformance period, the important points are that industry member reporters would not be subject to regulatory action for failing to meet the maximum allowable error rate as specified in the plan. I believe that's 5% out of the gate. Or failing to correct reporting errors within the time frames that are set forth in the plan, specifically the T+3 deadline. So this is designed to give more flexibility to allow the time necessary to research the issues and be able to make the root cause corrections before coming in and attempting to correct anything that is rejected in CAT. So what will members be required to do? So there will be three main components that members will be required to do or potentially be subject to some form of regulatory action. The first is must begin reporting all CAT reportable activity beginning November 15th, your entire scope of reporting, and it must be done within the submission time frames in the plan, that is 8 a.m. the next trading day for the majority of the events. So that must start in November. Firms must also make a reasonable effort to correct system encoding errors promptly. So if you have massive rejections and you look at it and you realize there's some code error in some back office system feeding something, the requirement is you very promptly address that issue, fix the coding error so that what the rejection sees, or if it's an unlinked issue, whatever, that happens very quickly. And then the SROs will work with firms about how to come in and deal with the errors that had occurred prior to that system fix. But it's very important that firms understand they are going to need to be monitoring this and be ready to identify root cause problems and take corrective action as necessary. And then the third obvious component is that there must the adequate supervisory systems in place. We expect firms to be monitoring like they do with OATS today on a daily basis. So that's an overview of the conformance period. Let's move on to the next slide. And let's talk a little bit. There's a lot of information on this slide, and I believe we will be publishing this deck so people have time to read this in more detail. And we're obviously open to all questions because there's a lot of information here. The key points are that we will be covering phase 2A is going to include all OATS events and scenarios so we can retire OATS. That's mission critical. Then where we start moving significantly beyond what we have in OATS today, by that November date, so we're going to have something substantially improved from where we are today. We will have all proprietary trading, all orders, including market maker orders from all U.S. registered broker-dealers will be there. The firm designated ID is the next item. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that in a moment. Those are account identifiers, so that's going to be another significant step forward with Phase 2A implementation is we'll have account identifiers on all this data. Then the next big ticket item is all street-side representative orders. So anyone familiar with OATS reporting today knows that particularly riskless principle, that's the easiest example probably, where street side activity is not reportable, just the customer side. So in CAT, a phase 2A, all street side activity will be reportable, not requiring to be linked in all scenarios. I'll talk about it in just a second, but with an indicator telling us that this is a representative order. We'll get into much more detail about that, provide more information as we move along. The only linkage that will be required for these representative orders in phase 2A is, and this is a pretty long definition, so I'm not going to read it, but essentially single one-for-one representative scenarios for a single order where essentially there's electronic linkages already in place at the firm and executions resulting from the representative orders are immediately and automatically applied back to the single order being represented. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions and more in-depth discussion on that one. Let's see, now let's try to hit the other big tickets. Quotes are in, NMS stocks are both the BD side, the exchange side is obviously in this November. This is limited to electronic quotes. We would just note that the SROs are in discussions about the appropriateness of exemptive relief for verbal quotes. We received some very in-depth feedback and analysis from the industry groups on this, so we wanted to make sure that was clear. We're talking electronic links here. In the unlisted space, the way 2A breaks out is the BD operating any interdealer quotation system, so we'll just say the global OTC link side of the world, they will be reporting in phase 2A. The broker-dealer side of those quotes will be in 2C. We did want to make sure we do not inadvertently exclude any scenarios that may exist. We don't have specific examples or knowledge of any of these that currently exist, but we do not want to inadvertently exclude them if there is any type of quotation venue where a quote that would meet the definition under the plan, but that is not operated by an SRO or broker-dealer. If that were to exist, the broker-dealer would be required to report that in 2A. Electronic capture time for manual orders. This next one is a fairly significant change from OATS. On the route reports themselves, CAT requires that special handling instructions or the material terms and conditions of the orders routed are included on the route. So we'll be working in the spec to see how we can limit that to a defined set of values, perhaps replicating what's on the receipt of a new order in terms of special handling codes. We know that's a big ticket item, but that is a requirement under the plan. And then the last issue, this gets very much into the weeds, but there is OATS guidance out there that addresses, some of you may be familiar with this, firm modifications to previously routed orders and in certain scenarios, those are not required to be reported to OATS. So this is all part of our larger event type discussion that will be going to the OPCO for a vote and then be decided upon next week. But one potential path is that that guidance be applied to CAT in phase 2A. And then as we move into 2C and the SROs and the SEC have time to work with the data and see how it is impacting the quality or data integrity of what's being sent in, we may have to revisit that. So then when we go into 2C to pick up the second part of equity reporting, this will be where we bring in all of the linkages for the representative order scenarios, and we get into the more complex scenarios, the average pricing, net trading, aggregated orders, the OMS, EMS scenarios where there's not direct linkages, electronic linkages, et cetera. Then we'll pick up the sub-account allocations. This next item is new, different than OATS, but in the course of working through all of this in CAT compliance, we believe necessary to be there. If a route is sent and a market center does not accept that order, then the routing firm would still be required to report the route, but just to denote that it was not accepted by the market, the receiving destination, so there wouldn't be a linkage issue. Then we're going to have to pick up internal route modifications and cancels. I think that needs more industry analysis. I already mentioned the unlisted quotes that the BD side of quotes into like global OTC, OTC link. And then I already hit the last one. So that's a lot of material. But like I said, this will be published and we can move through all the questions as they resolve. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. The scope for option phases. A little more, well, this is more a very complex implementation, not quite as much detail as on the equities. 2B will be simple electronic orders. It will not include, or our proposal is it will not include electronic paired orders because more complexity gets introduced there. As we work through the spec development, a lot of issues have come up. So the SRO's view is that we can move forward in a much more timely fashion to at least get options included in CAT and move us again substantially ahead of where we are today by limiting to simple electronic options and then picking up the remainder of the option scope in phase 2D. All right, the next slide, please. So firm designated ID. I mentioned this earlier. We will be providing, this is a bit of an overview. We do plan to provide more details, in-depth guidance on it. This is an account identifier, essentially, the firm designated ID. If you look at the plan definition, it's a unique identifier for each trading account. There are entity IDs that can also be bolted into this FDID, but aside from an entity identifier, this is just trading accounts, account numbers that we are talking about. So that's what will be required. It will be optional in the spec starting in November, required by February. And one of the things that is under consideration and that you'll hear more about, I think, is that the concern of having real account numbers be in CAT, and there is discussion and the SROs are considering whether we would put forth guidance that said a real account number should not be used and some other number to represent that account would have to be reported. So that's what this IE obfuscated account number refers to in the second bullet. To point out that these are, like I said, the intent is an account number. It needs to be unique and persistent for each broker-dealer so you can track the activity of a particular account over time. Once the customer and account reporting begins, then these account numbers or the FDID, which will be representing the account, will be used to reach into the customer and account data to obtain specific customer identifiers or the CAT customer ID. So can't emphasize this enough, I think, because there's always a lot of confusion around this, but the benefit of getting the FDID in the first phase of the implementation, again, to move the objective of moving this substantially beyond what we have today, is that it will allow regulators to identify that the same account is trading within a single broker-dealer. So that is a significant step forward, and then we can use that number as necessary to make additional requests until the customer and account system is in place. So look for the additional guidance coming next week. All right, let's move on to, actually at this point, I think that concludes my portion of the presentation. And if we move to the next slide, we're gonna, John Croker is going to talk about where we are on PII.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Shelley. Good afternoon. As you may know, the CAD NMS plan requires that there be also aside the transactional database, a customer and account database. And under the plan, this customer account database contains certain customer identifying information, which includes name, address, date of birth, and Social Security number. The reason the plan contemplates the inclusion of the Social Security number is that it's the means by which a customer can be, customer ID can be created, so individual customers can be uniquely identified across broker-dealers, and that unique identification can be used in cross-market surveillance and market reconstruction efforts and other investigative efforts. There's great awareness on the part of the participants and the SEC as to issues of data security, so therefore, in an effort to minimize the amount of customer identifying information that's captured and stored in CAT, but still achieving the regulatory objectives of the CAT plan, the SROs, through the PII Working Group, in consultation with the Advisory Committee, have evaluated a number of possible alternatives to the current plan requirements. Most recently, the SEC staff has suggested an alternative that keeps the plan requirements, but instead of the CAT retaining an actual Social Security number and date of birth for natural persons, it would instead, that information would be transformed through a non-reversible secure hash value process. That alternative also envisions making certain less sensitive customer information, such as zip code and year of birth, available for querying along with information in the transactional database. And just this week, SIFMA recently responded with an alternative approach of its own in place of its previous approach that would provide for the creation of a customer ID for individual investors through the same submission of Social Security and date of birth information, which would also be transformed, but without the submission of other customer identifying information to CAT. That other information would not be stored in the CAT database, but would be made available to regulatory users through an FDID request response system that would take the place of the Blue Sheet system. So in terms of the next steps in the process of evaluating whether any of these approaches would be moved forward with, the PII Working Group is going to take the alternatives that we have to date, assess the advantages and disadvantages of those to the operating committee on August 15th, and see if we can move forward with any of those or further research is necessary. The next CAT master plan date after that is October 15th, 2018, and the participants at this point are supposed to finalize the requirements for the customer account database and provide the SEC staff with any draft plans that amendments that are necessary to effectuate an alternative approach. Thank you. I'll turn it over to Todd next.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everybody. We wanted to take this opportunity to ensure that the industry and the public at large have access to and know where to find information and developments on CAT NMS. So first, as you see here, we do have, so you would go to the website catnmsplan.com, pardon me, where we have a lot of this information. So first we start off with the FAQs. We have both general and the interpretive FAQs continue to be updated as information comes in, and as that they are updated, we do update the website as well as send out notifications of said updates. In a later slide, I will show you exactly how you can sign up for those. If we can go on to the next slide, please. As well, within the banner at the top, you can see on the website there's a section for technical specifications. Here we have both a public version of the participant technical specifications, those that the SROs are using to submit, as well as the industry member technical specifications. As Shelley mentioned, the next version will be up on September 5th on this in this area of the website here. Next slide, please. And as I mentioned, you do have the ability to subscribe to our CAT NMS plan alerts. At the bottom banner of the website, you can see the subscribe link. Clicking on that, please enter in your information. And as updates occur, whether it be updates to the FAQs, specifications, announcements for events such as this, as well as when we have published the materials for events such as this, we will announce it by way of this CAT NMS plan alerts. So we do encourage you to sign up. It is the most efficient way to find information, the most timely way to get information as updates are made by CAT NMS plan. So please, by all means, go to catnmsplan.com and subscribe at your leisure. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. Lastly, another means of communication inbound would be through the CAT Help Desk. The email and phone number are available here on the website, or excuse me, on the presentation, as you can see. Various information you can call in or email to get on, mostly around timing, as well as publication schedules. If you want information on security or when billing comes around, that will also be a means of communication there. Lastly, I would just encourage once again, catmsplan.com. There's a lot of information there, as well as subscribing, as we suggested earlier. And with that, I will hand it back over to Michael for questions.
Thank you. A lot of the questions that we have been, received have been answered already, so let me run through them quickly and then hand a couple over, I think, to Shelley to handle. As a good segue from what Todd just said, a number of people have asked if this presentation is going to be available after we close the webinar, and the answer is yes on the CAT NMS plan website that Todd mentioned. So that will be posted hopefully by tomorrow. You'll be able to see that and all previous presentations up there as well. We received a question early on regarding what happened to the February 2020 start date for Phase 2A, as Shelley explained, because the SEC has made it clear that there has to be material industry reporting in 2019, that date has been moved back into 2019, and for the three-month period into February 24, we now have the regulatory conformance period that Shelley described in detail. Somebody asked whether or not there's a Phase 2B. As well, before Shelley had explained that that is the first stage for options reporting for the simple electronic orders. There was another question regarding the dates, I believe, on page 8 of August 15th and November 5th, expressing, I'd say, some skepticism given the missed dates so far in this project, whether or not the participants believe they can meet those dates, and I think the answer is, as of now, it's yes. We've mentioned a couple of times throughout the presentation what's expected on August 15th and September 15th, and we're working now to meet those dates. Shelley, there was a couple of questions there as well, and if you want to handle them regarding the regulatory conformance period.
So I've been happy to. I'm having difficulty looking at the questions. What is the question on the regulatory conformance period? I apologize. Would it be possible to expand? Oh, okay. I see it now. I apologize. My bad. What is the maximum allowable error rate? So in the plan, the operating committee defines what the maximum allowable error rate is, and I believe upon initial implementation, it's 5%, and there's a requirement for it to move to 1% within a one-year period. So that initial 5%, that's what we're talking about. There would not be penalties or any sort of regulatory action if a CAT reporter has greater than a 5% error rate. And then I see perhaps the other one is manual orders. Mike, make sure I've got these.
manual, or do we need to capture both electronic capture time as well as manual time?
Yes, and the answer is yes. And there's actually an FAQ on CAT NMS plan under the interpretive FAQs. I believe it's question 2 where we address that.
Another question is, during the conformance period, will we be required to fix all rejects for a given day, even if it takes weeks?
So I think that, that's an excellent question. I think, you know, as I mentioned before, we've got the primary focus is going to be correcting the root cause so that the rejections stop. And then we can work with, you know, based on the facts and circumstances and specific reporters about what effort is involved, what the nature of the rejections were, et cetera. So I don't have a hard and fast answer other than, you know, acknowledging it's an excellent question, but the primary focus, again, is on root cause correction.
Okay, we have a question. When do you expect this plan on phased approach to be accepted by the SEC? And again, that's an excellent question, and we get it on every one of the webinars, and the answer is, we're not sure if we're ever going to get a formal acceptance of these times by the SEC. We started with a letter that had proposed dates and an exemption request, have moved on to a master plan. The master plan is a living document. As mentioned early on, we do plan on making some sort of filing with the SEC in the coming weeks that will seek some sort of specificity and acceptance of these dates. Whether or not the SEC acts on that or in some other manner gives some acceptance of these or other dates, we don't know. We understand the industry's interest need for certainty here. We're trying the best we can to work with the SEC and provide some level of certainty, but we can't give you at this point any specific dates on when that might happen. Question, would Blue Sheet stop at the time a firm converts to CAT? Shelley, I guess that's you.
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you say it one more time, Mike?
Sure. Would Blue Sheet stop at the time a firm converts to CAT?
So that will be, the Blue Sheet retirement will be associated with the customer and account implementation, and that would not be until November of 2021. So it would be not when you convert to CAT. It would be when we have fully implemented the customer and account system and ensured that all of the information that regulators rely on from Blue Sheets can be obtained from CAT.
Maybe a second cousin to that question, we've got a couple of questions asking for when the scheduled retirement of OATS will be.
So that will be tied to, obviously, phase 2A and what the allow or what the overall error rate is. So as people may recall, FINRA did submit a retirement filing that we subsequently withdrew. But in that filing, and I think as we would move forward, it would not be materially different in that we need a sustained period of time where the error rates are at an acceptable level and that we are able to look at the quality of our surveillance output and ensure that we have no degradation in surveillance when we cut over to CAT. So we don't have a clear bright line date. It's going to be tied to the overall error rate, and I would refer people to our original filing of what that's probably, you know, a good indicator of what it's going to look like.
Question is, how long will CAT keep data submitted by broker-dealers? I think the answer for that is we don't have at this point any planned phase-out or data destruction plan in place. So I think right now, the answer would be indefinitely. I don't know if any of the panelists have any other answer to that, but I think it's at a minimum 5 years, and there's no intent at this point or plans to put in a data or document destruction policy. Another question is the error rate from 5% to 1%, is that per phase? We have till May 2020 to get options to 1%?
So I think that would be for each phase. So if options is starting, I think when we get to 2B, the regulatory conformance period is for 2A right now. So the way the plan, and anyone else, jump in and correct me if I am misstating this, I believe it's the 1 year. So I think the 1 year would come after each phase. So options, you would have 1 year from the start of phase 2B to get to a 1% error rate. Hopefully that addresses the question.
Okay, unless I've missed anything, I believe that is the end of the questions as I see them. I ask the panelists if they've seen any other questions, or the folks at the Deloitte who are administering this. Have we hit all the questions?
None that we've seen, Mike.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Again, this presentation, I believe the Q&A will be up as well tomorrow. And we'll be publishing the FAQs as they come up. So as this develops, there'll be continuing addition of material to the CADNMS website, which is probably the single most important place that there is for collecting the CAT information. And we will schedule another webinar early in the fall. Thank you very much.